podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's AFQ Football. It's John Gibbons hosting. I'm joined by Lizzie Doyle, by Gareth Roberts, by Chloe Bloxham and by Tim Smith. And we're going to answer all your questions that you've been getting in on this lovely Monday morning. I didn't give you a huge amount of notice. Apologies for that. But you've come up trumps as you always do. And I'll start with the very first question, which I'm going to adapt slightly. So Matthew Dempsey said, should the club get Alan Hansen to present the Premier League trophy to Jordan Henderson? I presume, Gareth, that's a nod to the fact that it was obviously Alan Hansen who lifted the last one.
Yeah.
So would you be up for that, or have you got any of your own ideas that you want to throw in?
I quite like that. I think it'd be nice if there was some kind of link to you know, the last team to lift it. I genuinely like it in general when there is things like that done. So I've always liked the sort of setup of Ajax, the way they've got like a lot of the ex-players involved in the running of the club and things like that. You see that at Bayern Munich as well. And look, I don't think they should be crowbarred in there. Like, I'm going off on a tangent here, I know, but for instance, like, you know, like, I've always thought, you know, John Barnes has obviously got a real brain on him and, like, you know, an intelligence there. And I've always been surprised, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes ever or anything like that, but I've always been surprised that maybe there isn't a role somewhere for him, maybe. So yeah, to see something like that, I think would be good, because, you know, you think to like sort of the last day of the Cop and things like that, when they got a lot of, you know, like the older players out and the wives and things like that. And it was just nice because it's like a reminder that, you know, yes, it's brilliant in the here and now, but this is a historic club. You know, a lot of people will have waited a long, long time to see that trophy be lifted. A lot of them will be old. A lot of them will maybe think they never were going to see it. And to have Hansen or and others from that team would be nice. Would be a nice link to the previous team to do it. Yeah,
Chloe, Hansen, or you'll throw in your own suggestions. You know, whoever you want.
No, I kind of like that because, you know, I wasn't born when we last won the league, and you know, you hear so many stories from your dad.
He's good, Hansen, like,
yeah, Gosford, he was brilliant. And you know, you hear about these teams and how brilliant they were and what a time it was to be alive, and you know, it's been 30 years and it almost feels like, you know, we were never going to do it the longer it went on. So I like the idea of the legends in the past, you know, giving the trophy to the legends of the future of those who will become legends, because Jordan Henderson will become a legend in Liverpool Football Club. So, yeah, I like the idea, and it's also history, isn't it? And it goes to show that, yeah, we haven't won it in 30 years, but don't forget our history. We are the most decorated club in England, by the way, people. So, yeah, I like the idea of that.
I love the way you said decorated. That was really Scouse. Decorated. It was excellent. It made it sound even better. Yeah. I was like, we are. And that sounded really Scouse, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you can sort of go against it, really, can you? There's not. It should be a dead nice thing. I mean, is there a... Can you just appoint whoever you want to do the handover?
I don't know. I don't know if this is Matthew's aired something, or it's just this. Imagine we could try and make it happen.
Yeah, I'm sure we could. I mean, I don't know whether like someone from the Premier League normally does it or whatever, but yeah, I don't think anyone's going to. Yeah, well, I know that.
Also, there's no one in charge anymore, is there?
Yeah, they haven't got a box.
three people, haven't they? They've all swept. Maybe they couldn't hand over the Premier League trophy at Anfield, so they packed in. But no, I mean, there's nothing to go against. Both the reasons that Gareth and Chloe just said there. It'll be nice, won't it? We don't probably see the same old, I guess, and we could see Alan Hansen, because I don't think these old players who come on the pitch sometimes at half time, and they always, I guess, reuse the same three or four to do things for the club. It seems like Alan Hansen doesn't, Ian Rush is obviously part of the club, he's involved, he goes on these tours, but Alan Hansen doesn't seem to have any sort of involvement in the club. So I think, like you said with John Barnes, there must be room for them to do more, because every time you go on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, Liverpool are doing something somewhere in a different country. Maybe Alan doesn't want to do it. Maybe that's fair enough. But I think that'd be a nice sort of passing of the torch, even though it's taken 30 years to pass that torch. But
yeah. Lizzie?
Yeah, it's a nice idea, whether it's Hansen or whether it's another legend. So it reminds, like I'm with Chloe, it reminds you of, rather than doing that whole thing where everyone says, oh, Liverpool always look to the past, the history FC and whatever, well, the thing is that there's bloody 18 league titles that have been won before this one. So I think it'd be a lovely way to honour it, whether it's with Hansen or whether it's with another one. Like, imagine like Kenny doing it. Do you know what I mean? It'd be boss if Kenny done it. But no, I think it'd be nice.
I think Kenny's chocking on match day.
Oh, he's fine. He's got a minute to hand over the golden Premier League trophy to Jordan Henderson. Come on, Kenny.
I think it'd be nice as well if there was some kind of representation from like the Hillsborough families as well, yeah. Just because that's so central to the club and so central to what happens as well. I mean, you know, look, you know, mention Kenny there. Well, you know, Kenny resigned from the post because of the stress of the whole situation, really. And, you know, it had a profound effect on the club. And look, there's a lot of those campaigners that died without ever seeing this next title. And, you know, like, football does mean an awful lot to an awful lot of people. And there's a lot of survivors that still go as well. And we all know some of them personally and things like that. And I know, like, it'll mean an awful lot to them. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people in tears when it's finally done and we finally lift that trophy. And it'd be nice to see maybe one or two of them on the pitch as well. Because, you know, it is about the players, but it's about the people as well.
Okay, good shout. This follows on a little bit from that. Adam Doyle wants to know, do you think many long time attendees at Anfield will jack it in going at the end of this season? Tim, you're old. He's younger than me. If and when we win the league next season, you'll have seen it all. You'll have seen everything. Will a part of you just go, do you know what?
Not me. No, I won't be doing it. No, but I mean, I've there's a couple of fellows when I go to a couple of lads to a certain pub. I think a couple of them have already said they'll pack in. He's like in his 60s or 70s. He literally has seen everything. Like literally everything. I don't know. I think the selfish person inside me thinks, well, that'll be quite good because it'll mean I'm not a season ticket holder, I'm only a member, so I got to go through this rigmarole of getting tickets. So if some of these people do jack it in, then it might make my life a little bit easier twice a year.
The list.
Well, yeah. So I mean, you can sort of see it because I guess in the particularly in the worst times of where we are now, I think a lot of people, young or old, probably saw it as a bit of a, well, I just go because I've always gone, not because you really wanted to. And I think, obviously, the times are on the up now, so a lot of people aren't thinking that way. But I think some of the older generation are like, well, you know what? I've done it now. I've seen everything. I've waited long enough and we've done it again. So I can go out with me head held high and I can just get on with my retirement in life and just stay at home a weekend instead. So I can see probably a few of them doing that. I'm going to end up, they'll say they'll do it and they'll still be there in August, won't they, when the season starts again?
It's funny, Gareth, because I remember there was more talk of this in 13-14. I don't know if you agree, it might just be my memory, or obviously it's just the people you speak to sometimes, but I think in 13-14 there was quite a few saying, like, oh, you know, if we win the league this year, if we win it, then that might just be me. That I haven't heard it as much this year, and I don't know whether it's because that was seen as a bit more of a flash in the pan, like, oh, if we win it, then you know, whereas... Yeah. I think people are probably thinking now, fucking hell, imagine what we might do next season.
Yeah, I think that's probably a part of it. I think as well, maybe that, you know, that 13-14 was like more of a emotionally charged season, really, and that we none of us expected it. And then it come out the blue and then we went on a mad run and it felt like when we were on that run, you know, like that we were almost helping to power it in a way, if you know what I mean. Like the city was mad and like every game was like a bit of a party and all that. Whereas this has become... You know, you sound a bit entitled, but, you know, it's been 30 years, so it's mad to say it, but it's become like a procession now. Yeah. It's like we've won it and it's done and it's like we're that good. And so maybe for that reason, people are looking at it more sort of, you know, with a clear mind and going, like, I mean, that was stressful, 13-14, you know what I mean? That, even last season was stressful.
Yeah.
You know, it going to the wire, if you like, and the 97 points and then not doing it. This is nice and stress-free. And so I reckon when it's stress-free, people are more like, nah, I'm still going to go. I'm still all right. Whereas when it's like your heart flying at every single game, probably the hard fellas are like, fuck this, I need to get
emotionally draining, isn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, it is a lot of dough as well, I think, is the other thing to say. You know, it's a lot of dough to go the match week in, week out. Even if you're just doing the home games, it is. And I'm sure a lot of people will look at it and say, I've got the set now. And maybe, like, you know, I'll pass on, used the phrase before, pass on the torch, or like that. So I'll pass on the torch and I'll stop going, or I won't go as many, or whatever. I mean, you can literally watch every match now on the telly, illegally or not. So, I mean, I think a lot of people maybe will take up that option.
Chloe, you're someone who qualifies for one of these young adult tickets they now sell. There's a general kind of feeling that there's not enough people like you in the ground. So do you think all these old fellas should do the good thing, fuck off and let more in? let more of your mates in?
Nah, to be fair. I feel
she
like...
She says sat with a load of half.
Surrounded by me, there's not a kid in sight. They're all older than me. And
get out the way, don't they? You know what I mean? What, win the league, fuck off.
Well, the person next to me, lovely guy. He's been going for more than 30 years, and to be fair, to have that passion to go for more than 30 years, to his girlfriend, his wife, sorry, is actually an Evertonian. But, you know, to have the dedication to go for 30 years, I only wish in 30 years' time that I'm in the same situation, have my same seat in the cop, now all the people around me. I think that's the thing. If people got off around me, it'd feel a bit weird. The reason I want us to win it at Anfield is so I can celebrate with all those people who I've went the game with for so many seasons, so I can celebrate the passion. You know, the likes of Barcelona, everyone was in tears around you and you were just hugging people. And it's mad, the feeling that you get when you're at a game. It feels like you are family. These people who you'd never see in your life, apart from a Saturday or Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday when you're in the Champions League, for those 90 minutes, you feel so connected and bonded over something. So for me, although I'd like to see especially more females go in the game, especially young females like me, because absolutely none of my mates could tell you a thing about football. Although I'd like that, it's the fact of these people have seen it all, these people are still dedicated to go, they still want to go. And to be fair, to have that experience in a sense next to you, the fact that, don't worry, like, even with 5 games to go, for some reason I'm worrying, but for absolutely no reason. And I go to the game and they're like, what, just calm yourself down, we've won it, like, calm, just enjoy it. And they're the ones who calm me down, who make me feel like, you know, even though I've only been I'm 18 and you're 60 something, we both want the same thing and we've both always wanted the same thing. So for me, it's special to have those people who've been going the games for 30 odd years to still be there.
That was absolutely beautiful. Lizzie,
that was lovely, wasn't it?
Another thing is that the problem with all this is that if you change your mind, you're fucked.
I know.
And so I think that's always in people's minds. You want to go like, or maybe I wouldn't go for a year, but unless you rent your season ticket out, which you're not really supposed to do, although obviously it does happen quite a lot. You know, it's always in the back of your mind, isn't it? It's like, if I say I'm not going anymore and then 2 years I change my mind, then you've got zero credits. So
honest to God.
You're going to Northampton at home in the week. Yeah.
And I think as well, I think like a lot of people who've got their credits now, over to the Roy Hodgson season, and I don't want to go shit. So I'm a little bit with Tim because I have a season ticket, but that's going to be shared next season onwards. So I'm in the members sort of thing as well, and I'm one credit away, which is just burning my head out. So I'm the same. It's like the more credits the better, because it's a pain in the ass. I've got 12, wow. And I've only got one game left to get me 13th again in the 30, and it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But yeah, I'm not going to pack it in. For me, this is the best Liverpool side I've ever seen. And I want to watch it in all its glory. I've seen it from the beginning. I want to see it through to the end as such. I want to see the Klopp era and say that I was there for all of it. And I think you'd be stupid to stop going when you possibly could be seeing one of the best teams that's ever walked the earth.
Especially you'd want just to form like the cold Klopp era point, I suppose, as well. As a sort of like a statistic, I think, since he took over. We've only lost 5 games at Anfield since he took over, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like pre-Klopp, and we were like losing 3 and 4 a season.
It's
or
a
whatever.
Nice day out, isn't it?
Yeah, you're going now. And in the past, you wouldn't dread it, obviously, but you'd always think like
it's a Palace again.
Yeah, it was like 2015 we lost once, 2016 we lost once, 2017 we lost twice, actually, and it was like, or whichever way around it was, and then it was 0-0, obviously, because we haven't lost in 2020, they haven't lost, didn't lose at all in 2019, so or 2018 for that matter. You can't go, can you? Especially when we're good at home, aren't we? Now well, hopefully tonight as well, like, but you know what I mean. So,
yeah, okay, good. More of a general footy one now, but I'm interested to get your opinions. I'll start with you, Chloe. Who do you predict will get the closest to Liverpool and Man City next season? So, if we're all expecting it'll be Liverpool and Man City 1 and 2 in some order next season, who of these who are just seem to be just titting around this season, to be honest with you, which of them will get their act together and have a little go?
Oh my, I mean, I feel like Tottenham under Mourinho can go somewhere, but his style of football, those players have to adapt to it or they have to get lost because he's not going to change it for them and he's being given a contract. So if he doesn't get the right players in, I really don't think they come near us. Chelsea, under Frank Lampard this season, the fact that he didn't have a transfer window for the one season, he's done decent. They've bought Ziyech, which is a really good signing. But for me, I still think they lack. And I think they concede a lot of stupid goals. Going on to Arsenal after last night. Jesus Christ. Horrifically shocking at defending. Great going forward. Shocking at defending. Honestly, I don't know why, but for some reason, I feel like United... And that is mad to say because they've been shite.
But, say it as it is, Chloe.
But I look at their team now. Even Harry Maguire, one of the most overrated players, and I've said it since he moved there. But he does offer them more stability. They've got a good right back, which not going forward somehow is compared to Trent. Don't know how at all. But he's good defensively. Luke Shaw, the last couple of games, has been looking good. He's not actually that good, but Lindelof's coming into his own. They've got Eric Bailly starting to play all right. Bruno Fernandes, who, to be fair to the lad, looks decent in midfield. I think they need a few signings and they need to sort out the striker situation, but then again, they'll have Rashford back next season. But for me, I don't think they get close to us, but they get the closest.
Yeah.
I mean, God, if Chloe's not mentioned the Blues there, which is, you know, a terrible oversight considering. I think if you look at the form since Ancelotti's took over, they were second in the form table at one point. I'm not sure they are anymore. Like, but you know, no. Bit more time, good transfer window. Moshiri putting his hands in the pockets.
Nah, they'll still be shite. I mean, I always think like if you're gonna sort of do something. What from one season to the next, you're probably not going to get huge jumps. I know, like we jumped up from the season before 97, obviously, but you know we were sort of on a bit of a road, on a bit of a journey. When you look at, I was in the home table is a bit of an indicator of where clubs are at. So obviously, like ours is perfect right now, 13 out of 13. Cities is come second, and you know they're not going away no matter what we say about them. Then it's Leicester, and I think Leicester will be all right. You know, they're kicking about. They've got a good manager. They've got good players. They know the system. They've probably got a bit of money, and that they can improve. I'm with you that in that, as much as I hate to say it, you know, Man United have always got money. Like Radio 5 tried to get me on to do something a while ago, and I refused to do it because I'm happy to help out and things, but they wanted me to be very specific, be a banter Liverpool fan, and I didn't want to be a banter Liverpool fan because they wanted me to go on and basically say, United are shit, aren't they? And I was like, well, yeah, they are, but they're also like a massive club with loads of money, and like, I don't rate Solskjaer at all. I've said before, I think he's an absolute joker and shouldn't be in the position, but it's funny that he is. But equally, like you say, they've already signed some good players. They've got good players at the club. If they sort out the Pogba situation, he's a player as well. And then if they sign another two or three, they're probably all right, do you know what I mean? And they're probably sort of top four-ish again. Everton, yeah, I mean, the home record's all right, to be fair, but, you know, they'll just, I don't know,
They've got financial fair play hanging over them, haven't they? That's another thing. Like, they can't spend too much because of what they've spent in the last. They've really got to get rid of some people off the books before. So I think for Everton, it'll be a bit more of a transition.
They've got to build
thing.
This ground as well, don't forget. Yeah. Boys and girls. I mean,
Chelsea's an interesting one because you can't think, like, I think it's been overplayed. Like, they've got some good players there anyway. And it was like, oh yeah, what a great job he's done. Well, yeah, because like the squad's all right anyway, do you know what I mean? You got like internationals right to it. But their home record's pretty poor, like 10th in the league in terms of just home. So they've lost 5 at home, drawn 3. So only 21 points, which is not great. So to kick on massively, are they really going to go out and have a massive spending spree? Probably not. Probably going to sign one or two. Don't know. It's a bit of a weird one. Like this is why I think like, you know, Liverpool can have a little period of dominance here because we are streets ahead of other teams, and you kind of think, well, you're probably going to get two or three in and you'll get a little bit better, but I don't see anyone making this huge jump where all of a sudden they're brilliant. I mean, like you say, Arsenal starting to do bits, aren't they? And you think Arteta's a decent manager. There's still a lot to sort, though. And, like, you know, a lot of the talent's young as well. And, like, we mentioned Alan Anson before, so I've got to, you know, refer to the chestnut. Don't win nothing with kids. No. But you know, there was something in that when he said that, because Arsenal got a lot of young talent and they'll produce from time to time and, you know, they'll get good results, but equally they'll fail because of the same players. So, don't know. I've rambled a lot there without answering. the Manx.
Lizzie.
Do you know what? I thought I'd be alone in thinking Man United. I think that Bruno Fernandes signing's a statement. I think he's a really looks a good player him, and I think he'll only get better as time goes on. And I think a lot of teams were eyeing him up, and the fact that he's still gone to Man United in the form they're in shows that they've still got the weight of the name of the club behind them. And I think when it comes to summer, I mean, who knows if they're going to even keep hold of Solskjaer? They might realise that it's time for them to move on. But I agree with Chloe. It's like, I think they'll be the closest, but they won't come without coming close. I think Everton and Arsenal, I think, will have another bit of a... I think we'll make a bit more of a step up before the start to challenge in that sort of Liverpool, Man City, or if they ever do. I think Arsenal's got potential. I think going forward, they're really good as well. But Aubameyang might be leaving. I think Arteta was talking about that last night, and he was saying that it's just a case of keeping all of them. So...
he's 31 now, though.
Yeah, I think it's Man United. I think if Chelsea had a different manager, we might have been talking about Chelsea. I don't know. I just think under Frank Lampard, I just don't think he has the pull, and especially with the form this season. So, Man United or Spurs under Mourinho, because I think Mourinho can sort of get whoever he wants to.
He'll fall out with... He'll fall out with
upset Dele Alli already, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, they've upset each other anyway. Yeah. Do you think there's an element of just saying Man United, Tim, because, like, they've always just sort of been there? Are we getting sort of drawn in by the name and the mystique and the pull rather than the sort of reality? Because it seems like they've got a lot to do to me.
I was actually genuinely going to say Man United as well, to be honest with you. Because I do sort of believe that there's probably a good managerial appointment and two or three good signings away from being better than everybody else, to be quite honest.
Wolves are good, you know.
Yeah, they are. They're having a laugh as well.
They're the only team you didn't talk about there, mate.
I know, I didn't mention I'd do the old league.
What's their own record like?
I'm going down to league two. I'm here in 10 years.
Got his eye on Bristol since.
Because I do think that, like Gareth sort of alluded to, and Chloe mentioned as well, they've got good players on the whole. There's a couple of bad ones in the squad. You like see your Phil Joneses and your Jesse Lingards and all that. But I do feel as though if they could add two or three players and get the manager right, they would probably be all right, because they've had three out of the last four managerial appointments have been pretty poor, haven't they, really? Mourinho won a couple of trophies, Moyes, Van Gaal, and now where they are now with Solskjaer. The rest of them, so they're probably, but this doesn't make them the United of the past. It just makes them, like the question said, the closest to us, but by no means mean that they're going to be close. They could be... He could still be 15, 20 points behind us and still finish third, couldn't he? You know, the other ones, Mourinho, he's going to fall out. He started even earlier this time, hasn't he? Now moaning about VAR and injuries and all that.
That's why he's shaved his head, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like signal that he's going for a fight.
So he'd be sort of surprised if he even seen like Christmas, right? I think Mourinho, because they'll just have a fight and that'll be it, because Kane will be off or whatever. The rest of them. Chelsea, Everton, Arsenal. Did I read yesterday that Arsenal are unbeaten in 10 games, or have I just made that up?
They're unbeaten in 2020. I know that much. They're only team.
So,
drawing a lot.
But then I think Arsenal need to buy probably six defenders to replace the four they've got, plus two subs probably, and a goalie, because yesterday the goalie was shite yesterday, wasn't he? Probably United. It's United, I'm afraid. I think Chelsea, again, they're good players, but they don't seem to be... They seem to be a couple of centre forward short for me, Chelsea. They're not going to score.
United had a good window, didn't they? I think you were saying that. It's like, you know, it's boss to slag them off, and I'm the first to do so. But they did have a good window. And, like, the manager is wild, and he's shit with the media. And, you know, you still got Woodward. They've got loads of problems to sort out. John's right to say that. But equally, you know, they've got the pulling power, they've got the money. And you just think, you know, you could kind of spawn it and be all right. Do you know what I mean? And they're still all right at home, is, it was my point.
And my worry with them as well is that once they get them back in the top four, and obviously they've always got money, but you can always have more money to spend, can't you? You know what I mean? And obviously they've missed out now 2 years of Champions League money, and I appreciate they've still got all the commercial income, which is a lot compared to most in the league. But once they got that pull of Champions League again, and they've got that additional income to be able to then spend on players again, it just brings them back up to the level. Whereas I was quite happy with them just knocking around in Europa League, because they were losing out on players but also money, because FFP does come into it. And that's why, like, to Chelsea can't go and spend £100 million on three players, even though Abramovich might want to, because it's not allowed within the rules of the game anymore. Whereas United's income is so vast commercially, they can still afford to go and spend £100 million. Even if they're in the Champions, even in the Europa League,
City might have wrote new rules by then.
Well, yeah.
It's funny that no one's really mentioned. I know we briefly mentioned Leicester, but do you think the reason we're not talking about Leicester the same way as United? Because I think they're definitely the third best team in the country now. Is it a case of they haven't got that jazzy attraction? So, maybe, like, if players are looking to come to the Premier League, I don't know, from La Liga, Bundesliga, prospects, if they finish third in the league, but say United finish fifth or sixth, or so, let's say they finish sixth and they're in the Europa League, do they still choose Man United over Leicester, who finished third? Do you
know what I mean? I could see a player leaving Leicester to go to Man United.
So can I. What, Harry Maguire?
So, yeah, you could see a Maddison going to United, yeah, even if they finish sixth.
Yeah, you're right.
Is probably the reason why they probably should be in the conversation to finish there, because that's where they are now and they've done really well. But I think you look at where the players want to go, and if their own players want to leave to go to Man United potentially, then what chance have they got to sign on to one ahead of them, I suppose? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Okay. Right, a couple of ones that are a bit more fun. So I'll start with Joseph Keeping. I'm not saying that wasn't, you know what I mean?
Was, yeah.
Lighter. More lighter. Yeah, that's thanks to him. Joseph Keeping. It's 0-0 in the 90th minute of the Champions League final. It's very specific. And one of our players has gone clean through on goal. No defender is catching up. So pace isn't an issue. Which of the current squad do you want taking that chance? So who's scoring a 1-on-1 to win your game?
So are you asking, like, who do I believe in the most? Or you're asking me, like, who do I want to score the winning goal?
I mean, it's
most confidence in.
To be honest, yeah. If it's the 90 minutes of the Champions League final, then we're not being sound.
You want it to be.
We're not
Joel Matip, is it? You know what I mean?
Who's taking the chance?
Mane, because I believe in him the most. But if you're asking who would I want to score the Champions League winner, Jordan Henderson.
I think you've got to be 3-0 up for that. It's 0-0. There's no time for sentiment. You just need a fella to fucking put in the goal. Right, okay.
It's not Henderson.
Gareth?
I'd say Bobby, you know. Okay. Because I just think technically he's brilliant.
Loves the big moments.
Yeah, and we've said pace isn't an issue, so that's not an issue. And yeah, he loves, as you say, loves a big moment, scored in the Club World Cup final. Bobby for me.
Okay, one for Manny, one for Bobby. Who are you going for, Lizzie?
I was torn between the two. I'm going to go for Bobby for the big moment thing.
Okay, Tim.
Probably a hat-trick for Bobby. I don't think I'd trust Manny in a one-on-one. He's a bit erratic sometimes, isn't he?
Top scorer.
No, and he should be even more ahead, though. No, but I mean, because he's missed some. He's mad, Manny. He'll do like an something unbelievable. Scores, then miss. Then goals, miss. Then miss an absolute stinker, like when was Everton the in the FA Cup, he should have squared Oxlade-Chamberlain, dragged it wide and all that. But yeah, probably Bobby.
To be fair, like, the whole Bobby getting a yellow card and for taking a shirt off, that whole thing, it does seem like a Bobby thing.
Yeah, he is getting booked. Yeah. I think that is fair to say. Okay, another one of these. But if you had a squad of just one of our players, who would it be and why, for example? So he's Steve here, is going for James Milner.
Because it's 23 James Milner.
That's what he's going for, yeah. But you know, you're allowed to, you've got a microphone, you can disagree.
can we imagine 23 Bobbies? I mean, I'd fucking watch that.
To be fair, he's quite good at, like, defensively set pieces. He led corners away.
Might be a bad shout, that, you know.
Imagine him in goal.
I think he'd be alright.
Did you see the Bleacher Report thing? A couple of days ago, the Bleacher Report did something on a fella from Hoffenheim who brought him over. It was interesting.
Yeah.
But he said, like, basically when he got here, like, they did, like, fitness tests with him. He said his results were the worst he's ever known. So it was a disgrace.
You say it was like training a granddad or something. but I mean, Bobby would be entertaining, but then you'd definitely pay your dough for that.
Anyone else?
I think Trent.
23 Trent.
Well, he can play in centre midfield, he can play fullback. Quite rangy, he might talk, but he plays centre half, he can finish, play up front. That can't be right, Trent.
Rangy means lanky twat, doesn't it? I've always thought that.
Skinny. People say tall rangy. And skinny.
Yeah.
Joel Matip. Rangy.
Rangy.
I think it's a team of Virgils.
Yep.
I don't.
Straight
I
just, on the same.
I just
wavelength.
Think what a wonderful time to be alive that would be.
He's
so I think,
calm.
Yeah, well that's
he's
it.
He's beautiful to look at as well.
Well, I wasn't going to go off that, but I mean, it is a very fair point. But it's more that like obviously defensively we don't need to. But I think you could throw him in goal. You could trust him. You've seen the passing range on him. He loves to be held to pass. He can score. Boss headers. I would trust.
He's got the height in midfield. So
I would trust a team of Virgil van Dijk all day.
That would be the right answer.
Chloe.
Virgil van Dijk.
You're going for Virgil as
well? Yeah, calmness on the ball all over the pitch. I mean, even against Everton when he shanks it, it still ends up in a goal, so.
Yeah, but is he following it in? No, that's the thing. Maybe he needs to go for Divock.
No, but, like, yeah, but the other Virgil will follow it in.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm just looking for the next one, just going through them. So while I look, there's this one I like from Johnny Shirley. Which football stadium / matches outside of England are on your bucket list? So has anyone got a ground that you want to go to that they haven't, or even a match, a particular derby or anything that you'd like to go? Lizzie's nodding, so...
Well, I've just been to Hamburg, and I went past San Pauli's ground, and San Pauli played Hamburg at the weekend, and I was thinking, oh, I wish I was there. It looked boss. I'd love to go to Mad One, even though I'm like the world's biggest shit house. I'd love, like, I would love, oh, no, but true. I'd love to go to like a Mad One in, like,
Boca versus River, please.
Boca versus River was when I saw that, my brother went to that one, you know, when it was rearranged in Madrid.
Oh,
yeah, and it looked unbelievable, but it's like party atmosphere, so I'd love to go to a South American football game. And even like I say, even though I'm a shit house, I think it'd be a bit mad to go to, like, you know, one of those Turkish ones where it's just fire. Yeah. Just fire everywhere.
Someone on my Twitter went to an Istanbul derby last night, and there was a photo afterwards. Was I think Fenerbahce got beat, or they are not, the fans aren't taking it well, and just like a picture of them all like setting fire to somewhere. Yeah.
It'd be an experience to say the least.
Remember we played footy on here, San Pauli's pitch?
Yeah, we weren't meant
climbed
to.
Over the fence and played heads and volleys on the pitch.
That was the night before. Did you come to go to the game?
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. It was funny because basically we went to Hamburg for the stag do, and San Pauli were playing, and it was a reduced capacity, wasn't it? So it was hard to get tickets.
But we
went and we sort of picked them up outside. But it was like, because it's like a bit of like a socialist club, in it. Like they were like the worst touts in the world. He was like, I said, this guy had a ticket. So I said, oh, you know, I'm after buying one. He said, yeah, it's €17, but can you give us 20? Because I had to pay a booking fee. And I was like, it's sad, mate, honestly. Like, I never would have waited for the change. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh, brilliant. Yeah, what a fella. So we were all just in like different bits of the ground, weren't we? But yeah. It was a good experience. Like, Chloe?
My first away in Europe was Porto. And one end was screaming at the other end, and they'd repeat it back to each other. And my brother's girlfriend's Portuguese, her whole family supports Benfica. But when I went to Porto, I bought a Porto top. It was my first European away game, even though it is blue. I just wanted it as a memory. And then I got given for my birthday a Benfica top from her and her family. So I'd really like to go to a Benfica derby at Benfica, because I've heard Benfica's ground's very good. They have like Palace with the whole thing situation. That all happens, but apparently it's supposed to be better because that bird flying around Palace, no one has asked. Everyone's just...
Shit you.
It's not even really illegal.
A lot of bird.
But I went to my first...
Sheen our bird, no one's asked.
First away game in the Premier League was Palace. And like everyone hyped this bird up. And absolutely no one was asked.
Bird chat on the way down.
Exactly.
Need to see that bird, Chloe.
So, Benfica Porto derby for me.
Because of the bird.
Including the bird, yeah.
Do you know what, though? Like, you've just got me thinking with that like call and response thing. When we do the Anny Road and it's like bigger, like maybe like Liverpool could do something fairly similar. Do you know what I mean? Like we like a European adaption.
I do like that,
don't we? We'll have a think about that.
I mean, even you know what does make it a bit weird though, we were like four goals up and they're still bouncing around, facing the other way, not watching the game.
One of the best moments was when they scored because they played this girl, so every all our end went mad, didn't it? Because it was the Jeannie Wijnaldum song. It's boss.
Baba, where are you going?
Argentina for me, because like it's mad and needly as fuck, and I've read like when Sai's been, Annie Sai Hughes has been, and written stuff up about it, and it sounds amazing. But beyond that, like I've been fortunate enough, you know, to do a lot of the ones that I wanted to do when I was a kid. So I always wanted to go to the Nou Camp, I always wanted to go to the Bernabeu, I always wanted to go to Bayern Munich. I've done all of those, being fortunate in that respect. The other one is I wouldn't mind going to like Bilbao. Just because it's boss there, by all accounts, in terms of not particularly the footy, but the area, do you know what I mean? That part of Spain. So I fancy that. But that's it, really. I think, like I say, I've done a lot of the ones. Argentina would be mad, because like it just looks like the, you know, I want to go somewhere where they're almost doing football in a bit of a different way, do you know what I mean? And that, to me, seems like they are. And just sort of witnessing that culture, being a part of it, being within the throng when they're going absolutely wild would be boss.
Okay, we'll just do one more, and that is from Alex Hurst. And which current players, he's put players, but you can just say one if you want. Say the one you think most likely retires at the club. So of all our squad, who do you think will play his last game for Liverpool? I'll let you all have a little think.
Trent.
You reckon Trent? One club man the whole way through. Yeah. I think he probably will as well. I think the only thing about Trent is whether he swaps his number.
Yeah,
because he mentioned that he did the Ash Trent thing on Twitter.
And how you were fuming, weren't you?
Well, I said Craig would have been having kittens, like, because obviously we've done the big
the mural.
I mean, it's fine. Like, we can change it if he wants. Maybe not soon. but I think Trent's a good chance. I think he probably will do, especially as if we're where we should be, like over the next sort of 10-15 years. And, you know, we can do everything he wants here. Then I think as well. I think he'll enjoy that legacy.
I think Trent's the right answer. I was going to say Milner because he's not far off it, and I thought if he was going to go back to Leeds, like was the sort of hearsay, it would have been around now. So how old is he? 33.
Yeah, he signed a new contract.
He's got a 2-year contract.
I forgot he signed a new deal because it was the day after Klopp's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it sort of got a bit forgotten.
So he's got 2 years left, which will put him to what, about 35, 36, and then I'm thinking, can you really? Leeds at that point, you don't know whether they're going to be in the Premier League, if they're going to be in the Championship challenging for
the
Premier
League.
They won't
be the fucking shit.
Well, fair enough, but I don't know. Milner, I'd have a question mark. Trent is the right answer, but I just think, like, unless you're from that club, really, you'd probably argue, like, if you said Jordan Henderson, I think we'd all probably go, oh, he'd go back to Sunderland, or you'd say Andy Robertson, oh, he'll go back to Scotland. So I think Trent is probably the next right answer.
I think Milner as well. I think, you know, sometimes footballers say they struggle with, oh, they don't want to know what to do next and stuff. I think Milner seems to have a lot of, like, other interests, doesn't he? Like, obviously, he's got his foundation and stuff like that, which is well known. But I think he's just generally kind of already seems to be thinking about, well, what am I going to do in my life? You know, so I think for him, like, it won't be a case of, oh, I don't know what else to do, so I'll go and do a year somewhere. I think he seems to, you know, be planning on where he's going to get his fulfilment in life next. So I think he will go out to the top. I think you're right. Have you got any interviews on his team?
Yeah, no, it probably is Trent, because I think nowadays players don't really stick around that much, do they? And I think not as well, because a lot of times the player wants to move on, but equally as well, I guess being a manager is probably a bit more maybe cutthroat than what it was in the past as well. So there's no sort of sentiments involved that I think if Klopp or the next manager wanted to replace a certain player who maybe been here for a number of years, I don't think they'd have any qualms in doing that. Whereas, like you say, if as long as we're continuing to perform over the coming years as where we'd like to be, I can see you can't. There's no reason why Trent would want to leave. He's the only one around the team really who's got sort of that affinity with the city as well, isn't he? So I think probably Trent is probably the one that you'd vouch for, I suppose, or go for.
Okay, Chloe.
I agree with Trent. If there was anyone else for me, it'd be Bobby, just because he's adored by the fans, every single person.
He's having a nice time, isn't he?
Yeah, he adores us back. I mean, he's getting baptised in his own pool over here.
Plus, Robbo's got him playing centre-half, so...
yeah, so I think if there was anyone, I'd say Robbo, just for the fact of I don't think he's ever felt love like it from such a fan base. And also because it's Bobby for me, you know, like, you know... It just you can see when he celebrates, he's a mad, isn't he? He's a bit like a Liverpool fan. He's just, like, absolutely mad. Like, kicking people's heads off. And you just sat there like, yeah, that's Bobby, that. So I feel like Bobby would be a good one.
Okay, it's right. We'll leave it there. Thanks very much for all your questions. They were great. Thanks a lot, obviously, for the panel who've answered them. Hope they've answered them to your satisfaction. We've had a bit of fun this morning. Up the Reds, and see you next week. Sports Social Podcast Network.